Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tigers Down Under. I'm your host, Alex, and with me I have Dan. How are you, Dan?
Oh, yeah, look, I'm all right. I mean, we've gone a couple of games undefeated, so that's something.
It must be a pretty decent streak now with
four games undefeated now.
Four games undefeated. I'm just thinking because Greaves, was it six games undefeated before the Stoke game?
Oh, yeah, because then we missed because he missed those couple of games from suspension.
So it must be like 10 or 11 games with him, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Lucky charm in some ways, but didn't finish the business on the weekend.
Not couldn't quite get it done. But, yeah, look, it's weird. We're like, you're talking six games undefeated, a couple of losses, something like that, four games undefeated, and you go, that's like a decent sort of patch of form, and yet we're probably going to sit here and talk about how it just about, without getting 3 points on the weekend, just about condemned us to another season in the championship. So it's pretty
a tough one,
I suppose.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like we were sort of just saying before we went to air, this game is a weird one because it doesn't feel like some of the recent fixtures like Stoke and further back the Swansea game where, no shots on target, very slow, tepid display, lacking creativity and drive. This game wasn't that. We sort of went at it from the start, and I'd say for the first 15, 20 minutes really looked like it was a matter of when, not if, we were going to score. Coupled with actually getting a penalty within that, and I think it's three penalties in a row now that we've missed, and two of them against Watford. So, different penalty takers as well for all of them, like Philogene, Carvalho, and Tufan. You just think, what's it going to take to score? You think like a penalty should be, scored more often than that. It was a weird fixture in that sense.
Yeah, it was. I think on the balance of like the whole 90 minutes, I think we, probably dominated more than they did, but they sort of, they had periods of control, but I think they sort of got to our box and they couldn't really sort of get past that. They seemed to really struggle to actually sort of generate a genuine chance, against us, in and around the box. Whereas we seemed to, once we got forward, it started, we had that early penalty shout, and then it wasn't long after that, another 5 or 10, I think it was a corner, sort of whipped in and bounced down, and Tufan went for the back heel, which almost snuck in. Late on, you had Greaves breaking through and getting a one-on-one with the keeper and, not being able to put it away. Dalap had a couple of decent shots. Like, there was
that Greaves chance, you just look at it and you go, that just... it felt like, he breaks through. He has the time to settle himself.
You just thought he was going to wheel away as the city hero. But alas, couldn't quite get in the net. But I think it was one of the lots and lots of chances created. And as we have bemoaned many times this season, it seems that like opposition keepers just seem to be able to pull out the world class saves against us when they've been, pretty average in the weeks preceding, our match. So because I think a couple of really impressive saves from their keeper, which was just frustrating. I don't know. Allsopp did his best to throw away points a couple of times. Some really, and then the one straight after that where he tried to clip it out and it wasn't high enough or anything. We talk a lot about most of the time his distribution is pretty good, and they work that sort of that trap to break the press pretty well normally, but a couple of ones there where he just sort of got that horribly wrong. But I think generally it was a really good performance, and another point in the season I think we'd be really happy with that to have got a clean sheet, to have played such good football, even though we are frustrated to have not collected 3 points. At another point in the season we might have been pretty happy with that performance and that result.
It's a tough one to take because it does, as you sort of said before, it does basically end hopes of a playoff place. I think Mitch was sort of saying today, what's more likely, West Brom losing their last two games and us picking up 7 points, or Norwich losing to Swansea and I think it's Birmingham's their last game, and again, essentially us having to pick up 7 points or more from our last three games, because we're 6 points behind both of them now with, you know, severely inferior goal difference. It makes it almost impossible. I sort of said last week, you know, all I really wanted as a first step, obviously I'd rather, you know, I want us to make the playoffs, but first step, I just want us to take it to the final day where we're still mathematically a chance going into that game against Plymouth, because anything can happen on the last day, you know. We've seen crazy things happen on final days where teams, you know, kind of crumble under the pressure and you know, we could get the win against Plymouth and all of a sudden we could sneak in. But it does mean, you know, essentially we'd have to beat Coventry and Ipswich and rely on one or both of West Brom and Norwich losing their next game to even be in with a sniff, because that would then put us level on points with them heading into the final day. But that's, I think, asking a lot. And look, we'll talk Coventry and Ipswich later on. But, you know, yeah, you're basically looking at 6 points from those games. And in anything less, and you're basically mathematically out of it. But, yeah, look, you've sort of touched on the key moments in this game already. I mean, there's not a whole lot else to really add on it. We'll talk Matty Jacob as well as our player of the week in a little bit. But I thought he had a terrific display again. I think he had a decent clearance to keep us in the game at one point. And,
yeah.
Did he have a chance as well?
I think he had a shot late, which then, so I think it was the one that bounced up and out for then
else. Yeah.
Might have been bounced up for Billy Sharp, I think, maybe to have a crack at or something. But he had a really good game. I think it's weird because it was one that, like, sort of when he sort of broke through initially in that sort of those cup games, and we thought, you know, that this is a kid, a homegrown kid, there's something here. And he sort of disappeared a little bit. And obviously
when Giles brought came in,
Giles and stuff, but you know, as it happens in football, an injury, and, you know, it presents an opportunity for someone else. And I think that, you know, as evidenced by the fact that Giles has sat on the bench for, I think, the last two games now, basically, that Matty Jacob's doing a good job. He's come in. He's defensively pretty solid. He seems pretty smart. He's just, I guess, like, yeah, going about his business. And it's hard, you know, he looks, it's hard to tell that he's a player who has, what, 10 or 11 senior appearances now.
Exactly. I think he's been very good, and we'll talk about, I guess, transfer window business or potential transfer window business as well later on. It's an interesting question about what we do with that Giles option now, because I was, you know, 99.9% sure it was just a formality even a couple of weeks ago, and you look at it now and you think, oh, maybe it's not such a formality. I mean, you're looking at a £4 million option for a left back, and you've got someone like Matty Jacob who can step up as capably as he has. I'm sure the owner would be looking at it thinking, that's $4 million I could be putting towards a Liam Delap transfer fee potentially. But we'll talk about that in a second. I'll do my votes for this game first, and then I'll grab yours. But I went Greaves for the three votes. I thought, other than that late miss, and I know you did argue that you should be deducting points for that miss. Other than that late miss, I thought he had a great game. And as I sort of touched on off the top, I think he sort of highlighted when he's been in the side just how much we missed him in those two fixtures against Stoke and Leeds. And it's no coincidence that we lost both of those games without him. Two votes I went for Jacob. As we've just been saying, I thought he was terrific as well. Put in a really good shift from my back. And he has that drive and enthusiasm of youth, which really helps a team like this when we're trying to push on for the playoffs and we need that energy and enthusiasm from the back. So I think that was really helpful. And then I went Carvalho for the one. I was really sort of struggling for a one vote for this one. You know, he had that free kick that was a decent effort. But outside of that, I mean, Carvalho was just sort of, you know, my pick of the attacking players, really. But you could argue too, fan, but then you got the penalty miss and didn't do a whole lot outside of the back heel as well. But Ömer, I thought, was probably one of his quieter games as well. I didn't really notice him all too much, which was a bit of a shame. And Philogene sort of drifted in and out. But yeah, so I just went Carvalho.
Yeah. I've gone very, very similar. I also went Greaves for 3 and Matty Jacob for 2. Pretty much the gist of the discussion so far. Greaves has shown just how influential he is. And I think there was some really good defending, but then also, you know, when he, you know, senses that the season's on the line, he's taking some calculated risks to try and get forward and to break forward and try and help the team over the line. Carry that the burden of responsibility on his shoulders, which I think was really impressive. So 3 points to him, 2 points to Jacob I thought a really solid game, particularly that block in the second half off the counter, where it just looked like it was a formality that they were just going to counter us and just put in the back of the net when it was about a 3-on-1 at one point. He managed to get back into the box and shut that down. So that was really good. And I've gone 1 point to Tyler Morton, who I thought he had a decent game. I thought was involved in trying to drive forward early and getting into those channels like he was earlier in the season, in a more attacking sort of space, getting wide and getting involved and sort of making some overlaps and trying to help out. So I point to Tyler Morton.
Yeah, good shout. We've got Jez in the chat saying, good show. Hope we can keep Delap, which brings us on to our topic of transfer window, where we're still, I was saying before we, when we put in the plan for this episode together, I was going, geez, we've only got one more episode left previewing games, which is going to be previewing Plymouth next week. So it does feel like the season's very much coming to an end quite quickly. So I thought we'd sort of cast our minds forward and look at how we're sitting at the moment and, how we see the squad. Obviously, there'll be a lot of turnover with the loan players leaving. I think Traore is out of contract, as is Christy, Doherty, a few others as well. But I think, I mean, I sort of touched on it before. I think when it's interesting now when you look at those loanees, and it's been good to see some positive comments from Morton and also from Delap about potentially returning next season. I mean, to be fair, I mean, if you're going to ask them the question, I don't know if they're going to necessarily say, no, I don't want to come back. But, you know, they can only answer the question that's put in front of them. But I think I sort of look at it as Delap's probably the priority for me. And then after that, maybe it's a Giles if you could get him back. I'm sort of discounting Carvalho because I don't think there's a chance of getting him back, and probably Morton as well. But I think if we could at least get Delap and Giles to stay, even if it's another season loan for Delap, it goes some way to giving you that stability in the squad as well. You're not having as much turnover of players. But I guess where are you seeing sort of the priorities for this side over the summer?
It's a tough one. Wish list is, is Delap as well, just to, if you can keep him, as you say, even for another season, or if you're somehow, you know, wheeling and dealing and manage to, you know, pry him away from Man City or something, great. But I think his influence throughout the season when he's been fit has been undeniable, and I think he is going to grow, you know, even further into a really solid number 9, and it's something we've been lacking for a little while. So I think he is almost, you know, I know he's only like 20 or 21 or whatever, but he's almost like the player that you build your attack around. He has all of the right attributes. And I think we've watched his growth this year was phenomenal. I think lots of the squad is probably going to be a lot of the squad is going to be here. Yes, there is a lot of turnover, but I think a lot of our first 11 is still going to be here. Morton goes back to Liverpool. Greaves potentially, if the right offer comes along, could be persuaded to move, I'm sure, because he's sort of done us a bit of a favor of rebuffing some advances over the last say 12 or 18 months. So I think that's a big hole if he does go. But apart, and there's the talk of Philogene, but I'm not really. Yes, he's got the talent, I think, to succeed at the Premier League level eventually, but he's not. I don't think he's necessarily been consistent enough with his involvements. There's too many, as you say, even in this game, drifted in and out of it. Where realistically, he's a player that should be just absolutely dominating at this level, and is capable of. So I think, I don't necessarily know if he will, you know, I don't think he's going to make that big money move straight away. Kind of reminds me of sort of like, sort of even like, you know, when Bowen sort of just started getting going, and we were like, oh yeah, there's a player here, but we're going, you know, he got 6 goals in 20 or whatever, and whatever the sort of first sort of season, when you go, but he's just not sort of involved enough. And then that next season, he just went bang, 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 and was just involved in everything and had a, you know, and then, you know, and that's what sort of, it's that, which I think he just needs to get to. And I think, you know, I expect he'll probably actually will still be here next season, which then, yeah, I guess all your loans go, but that's still like up in your forwards. You still got, you know, Tufan, Omer, you know, I'm expecting Philogene to still be here. So there's like three of your like current.
And can I throw a curveball name in there as well, as someone still in our books, is currently playing his trade at Millwall, but Ryan Longman has 2 assists and 2 goals in his last, what's that, 5 games. So 4 goal involvements, 2 goals, two assists. He's sort of coming to life a little bit in the back end of the season, and you compare him to Lekilo, who essentially we replaced him with, and you think he wouldn't actually, you know, coming in fresh and fit and motivated in preseason, all of a sudden he actually might be somewhat of a solution to a problem in terms of depth and in terms of options that we need in our forward line.
Yeah, I think it's not a terrible shout at all. I think we've got a couple of players who are out on loan who, you know, hopefully have just benefited from that experience. They'll come back hungry, and they roll the preseason, you know, game again, where they fight for their place. They show what they're capable of, and we make decisions. But certainly, I think, you know, Longman could certainly, he's one who could benefit from I think just from the time away as well. You go like, we're not, hopefully it's not a like, this is our way of cutting ties with you, but like Kovalic just went, look, we've got all these guys here at the moment, and you're probably just not quite,
you need some game time
at the minute. You just need, you're not going to get the game time here, so go somewhere else and get it with, you know. I'm hoping that, because I think he's had a bit of a struggle to get regular minutes there, but if he's, you know, if it's sort of clicking now, then that's good.
And the other side of the coin as well with all those loan players is, if they don't come in back into the fold, you'd hope players like Longman, who've had decent loan spells, if you do sell him to a Millwall, then that suddenly, you know, you're like I look at like a Ryan Woods, I don't think we're going to get much for him, but you look at his wages, you look at Oscar over in Brazil, you look at that, there's a whole stack of them, but players on a Cynic in Turkey, for example, even if we were just to get their wages off the books, it starts to add up pretty quickly. And you think, well, I think there's that instinct to say, well, we can't do any business unless we sell either Philogene or Greaves. And I think, well, there's actually a lot of quote-unquote dead wood in the books in terms of players on our books that aren't actually contributing to that first 11. Traore is another one who I think we saw him in a cameo on the weekend, but I'm sure he's on a reasonable wage as well. And if he leaves in the summer, Christie as well, that's a lot of wages that you're suddenly freeing up that you can use a lot more efficiently or a lot more focused on that first 11 before you're even considering selling a Philogene or a Greaves.
Yeah. I think it's a tough conversation to have, because I think, there's just so many different variables that are going to go around, that are going to have to contend with, as you say, loan players coming back, you know, loan players returning to their parent clubs, you know, the different offers that come in for players, the players that are out of contract, who's got options, whether we're activating them. There's just so much there.
It's been a busy summer.
Yeah, look, I guess at the end of the day, the short answer to my question, which you started, was probably Delap's the priority, and if not Delap, then that position. I think like a genuine number nine, it has to be the priority. You know, if it's not Delap, let's get Cassini Yenge.
he's had a decent season with Portsmouth. Or what about, oh my gosh, why is his name gone out of my head? At Middlesbrough. Central Coast player.
Silvera.
Yeah, Silvera. He's a striker, isn't he?
Sort of. He's kind of like Philogene. He's sort of like a bit of a more of a winger than a true center forward. But I think they threw him up there in a cup game or something. Burrow did, and he scored a goal or something. They did something weird, but he's mostly played.
We'll get Aaron Kunder on loan from Bayern Munich. It's fine. It's, you know, problem solved. But look, anyway, we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk more about that next week and in the coming weeks, because as you say, there's just going to be so many moving parts, and you almost just have to wait for the transfer window to open and start to see what directions the club moves in. Look, you know, there could be a move already lined up for Greaves, and he could be out the door before 30 June. Oh, 'cause that's the other thing, is that if we were to sell either of those players for a big fee, you would think that we'd be trying to do that pretty early to help ease the loss or the FFP position for this year. I don't know, because you don't really want to flag to other clubs, oh, hey, we've got this huge pot of money, add 10% to your transfer fees because you know that we're good for it, sort of thing. You want to get your incomings done early, but I don't know. It all becomes so much messier with FFP now, so I guess we will have to wait and see. But look, we'll talk Matty Jacob quickly before we round out with a couple of quick previews, but we've already sort of touched on him anyway. I think the biggest credit to him, as I think we've both said, is he is playing so well that it starts to bring into question whether we do need a Ryan Giles in the squad. And I think that's the biggest credit to him, is that you don't look at him as an academy graduate necessarily. You look at him as a first team squad member.
Who's competing with a player who's got a $4 million or whatever obligation or like option to buy or whatever? You know, he's competing and winning a battle against a player of that sort of caliber with that kind of money attached to him. So he's doing a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've seen it before with Brandon Fleming. Would be my only word of caution, is that we've seen these guys come through and hit that purple patch of form. But I think your point was a really good one, which was that he'd come in January when Vinagre was injured and looked pretty good. And then he went out of the team for Giles, and now he's come back into the team when Giles got injured, and he's still looking pretty good. So he's sort of keeping that level, keeping that consistency, and really showing that, if nothing else, it means that we go into next season knowing, we've got a really capable deputy who can step in when needed, which is what you want.
Mm, you know what he has been doing? He's probably hit the gym. He's hit the gym. Like when he those cup games, he was like beanstalk. He was so wiry and tiny, and then I looked at him on the weekend and I was like, he's bulked up a little bit, he's been hitting the gym.
He's probably just thought this isn't under 21's football anymore. I actually need a bit of bulk on me so I don't get pushed around.
But he's been putting the work in, so I guess and when you put the work in, you get rewarded, I think is generally how it sort of goes. So but I think his energy is great. I think the way that he goes about the game and his, willingness to get forward and his willingness to track back and defend and, throw himself around he's still pretty little compared to some of the other players in the league. So, it kind of reminds me of a little bit like Slater, who seems to just get into everything and doesn't matter. The size doesn't matter. He'll go into anything and try and win any battle. So, I think Matty Jacob's been a good pickup from the academy, where I guess feels like every other week there's sort of another one slipping through, or someone's they've signed somewhere else, or they've signed for a lower league team or whatever, they're just not quite breaking through. But I think he's hopefully a good one if he stays fit, keeps doing what he's doing. I have not feel bad about having him play regularly next season.
Well, absolutely. Well, we'll finish off then with a couple of previews. It's, not an easy couple of games over the next 4 days, but we've got Coventry on Thursday morning and then Ipswich on Saturday night. We sort of already touched on the fact that it basically has to be 6 points from these games. I think there's, some slim chance if it's a draw, but basically we need the 6 points, starting with Coventry. And it's going to be an interesting game with Coventry, because obviously having just played in the semi-final of the FA Cup against United, the heartbreak of missing out on penalties. You know, the whole gamut of emotions that they would have been feeling when they score that late winner, only to have it ruled out by inches, to then going ahead in the shootout. Because I was awake, so I watched it live, and Casemiro missed the first penalty. So you think, oh, geez, you know, Coventry are actually going to do it. And then Sheaf misses his penalty. And it's just the whole swing of emotions that they must have been feeling. It's gotta take it out of them ahead of the game against us.
Yeah, I think you know, I think it was in the chat. Someone said that, like, you know, they're gonna be primed from such as, you know, they've gone up against a Premier League, you know, heavyweight, and they've played so well, and they've pushed it to extra time and pushed it to penalties, and they're gonna be, you know, full of energy, you know, from that experience. And I can see that side, like, I can see that side of the argument, but it almost feels like that works if you lose sort of 1-0 just in the 90 minutes, where you go, you know, we played really well and we limited them heaps well, but, you know, they just snuck one by us at the end or whatever, versus, you know, that extra, all of the, as you said, the emotional stuff, the extra, like, playing time, you know, that would have been really, really taxing on them. And then, like, I'm sure they've got, you know, good recovery and facilities and programs in place, but I reckon, yeah, I can see that it just being so draining, and like they're sort of out of I guess they're similar to us. Maybe if they win all of their games, they're sort of in a.
So they have an extra game in hand is the only thing, but they are 3 points behind us.
Yeah,
so I think it's essentially the same position.
Yeah, so I reckon, I just feel like, yeah, I'm expecting they might be a bit flat. I just think there's just so much emotion around that club at the moment, and it's hard to manage and ride that emotion for too long a stretch of time. It just becomes so draining for people. So I'm hoping that it plays in our favour and that they're a bit flat and that we can catch them. And turn them over and take 3 points there. Not that I think it'll be an easy task, but...
Do you think Delap starts?
Look, I think he's certainly got to be, like, he's got to be in contention. Like, we're sort of getting to a point where you go, like, I don't know, you don't want to, like play Russian roulette with, I guess with, like, Liam Delap's, like, with his health and fitness and his career and that sort of stuff. But if he is, like, if he's fit enough and he thinks he's fit enough and he's happy and, like, and everyone agrees that he can start, then I think he should, because I think his directness will be just great. It's something that we've kind of missed a little bit, you know, where, you know, some of our players can be really direct. You know, Philogene can be really direct, but then he sort of gets the 18-yard box and he sometimes can't seem to make up his mind, and he sort of just pulls it back and tries to trick someone and then pulls it back again and sort of waits for a pass. Whereas Delap just seems to, if he gets on the ball and he's driving forward, he just goes, I'm just going to take this player on and I'm either going to get past him or I'm not. And he just backs himself, like, every time. So I think that is something that we've really kind of lacked, especially in some of those transitional moments where I think if you were able to, you know, it goes out to Philogene and then you just, like, playing that in behind the defense for Delap to just run through onto, I think suddenly we become a really, really dangerous, like, not that we aren't already dangerous, but a more dangerous proposition on the counter as well. But I think if he's capable of starting, I think he should. And then I'm not sure who, don't ask me who drops out.
Well, that's the tough part, is that you look at that front four and you just think, I mean,
I guess, like, based on evidence, I was going to say, based on the couple of weeks, it probably is Toufan, who's been the one that's been replaced by Delap each time in the last couple of games. But, it's a tough one. But
I think it almost has to be, just because Ömer, maybe you could justify switching out, but then you look at, well, do I want to put Toufan on the wing? And I don't know if Zaruri is back to fitness yet or anything like that, but you'd almost feel like having Ömer in his natural position for him would be better than having Toufan pushed out to a wing. And it also then means you've got Tufan to come off the bench and he could almost play anywhere across that front three. So maybe that's the way we go. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think you've kind of got to chance it and give Delap the start and see what he can do from the start.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're at last chance saloon. Like, we have to win these games, and even if we do, it might not be enough. But, you know, I think Rosinha seems, you know, the way he talks and the way he goes about it, I don't think he's going to, you know, sort of like leave anything in the tank, so to speak. I think he's going to go out, obviously, to win all three of these games. I guess not that a manager ever goes out to not win games, but, yeah, I feel like he'll be putting out, you know, if Delap's a chance of starting, I think, you know, Rosie's going to give him that, you know, every chance to do that. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one, but I reckon we can get it done. Delap bag a couple, be nice.
Do you think Coyle's the only other one? I don't know if he's fully fit, whether he would come in for a Slater.
I was reading an article about that very same thing. I think it was in the lead up to the Watford game about like what changes would you make from the game before. But and they sort of said, like, you know, Regan Slater, who's done a really good job in right back, unfamiliar position, but you know, hasn't really put a foot wrong, would probably actually feel a little bit harshly done by for Coyle to step in, which is true. But I, you know, now that you mention it, I probably actually would make the change. As much as I love Regan Slater, I think he's great. I just think that Coyle tends to offer us a little bit more going forward, surprisingly. He just seems to be really direct in the, you know, when he's getting involved in overlaps and running down on that right-hand side, where Slater sort of did, but just maybe not as much or not as direct, if that makes sense. So I think that would be, I probably would make the change. And I guess the other thing is you're going, you know, yes, Slater's played well, but we're getting into, you know, games that we have to win. Surely you just want to go, well, I've got an orthodox right back. Surely I play him in his natural position. And then, you know, you've got Slater to come on in the middle, or if, you know, fill another hole or whatever, if you need it, sort of go, it's rough on him because he's so, you know, dependable and reliable that he's almost the perfect bench player, because you can put him in almost any position on the field and he'll do the job, you know, well. So, sorry, Regan.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling like it'll be a 1-1. I do hope we can snatch it 2-1 or 2-0 or something like that, but I just feel like it's a tough one. I think Coventry are showing that they're such a good side, and even with the disappointment of the United game, I think at home they're going to be up for it. They're going to see this as, you know, all focus now on the playoff race, and so they'll really be going. Look, I mean, they'll be going for it too, so maybe that plays into our hands a bit, but it should be a great game. So looking forward to watching that one for sure. Ipswich this weekend, probably the only side in that first half of the season where I watched them and thought, yeah, they're sort of miles ahead of us in terms of the way they were passing the ball around and through us. And to be fair, even in saying that, we did have passages in that game where we then got on top and we passed it through them really effectively as well. But it felt like, having gone to Leicester and won, having had that draw with Leeds, having lost in the last minutes to Southampton, this was the only game of that top four where they really dismantled us, and it really felt like they dominated us in the game, essentially. Mm. So it'll be, if for nothing else, if we've lose to Coventry or whatever, if we're mathematically out of it, if for nothing else, you know, playing Ipswich and really trying to right the wrongs of that earlier game would be a really good aim for the game.
Yeah, I think the Ipswich game is one that's very, very concerning. It's a bit like, in terms of, you know, needing to win the remaining three games to give ourselves a hope. But I think, sort of as you allude to, it's a good opportunity even just to see, like, you know, how we have progressed. You know, last time we played them, they were able to just pass their way through us, and, you know, they exposed the flaws, you know, flaws rather in individual players or in the system or whatever, where you go, well, we've had, you know, a huge chunk of games between then and now. Let's see, you know, have we improved? Can we defend that better? Can we you know, play through them more consistently? Can we control the game against a team that also wants to control, you know, control the ball and control possession and play nice passing football? So I'm actually really looking forward to it on that front, but it scares me in terms of results.
I mean, look, you know, no wins in their last three for Ipswich. You look at that top four and really it's a game of which one wants it the who I can't think of the opposite.
Whoever blinks basically first.
Yeah, that's all, whatever. Like they're all yeah, seeming to lose their games. And it's basically whoever can win their game is gonna go up. I also looked at the numbers because I was a bit worried that this game might be the one where if Ipswich beat us, it could if we beat Ipswich, it could confirm Leeds going up, which I didn't want to be the case. And thankfully, Leeds can't mathematically get promoted if we were to beat Ipswich. So no guilt with going for the win for City in this one. would have been not a great prize. Of course, Leeds beating Watford back in 2012-13 put us up. So I guess it's just returning the favour, but don't need to do that. You know, decent striking options for them as well. I guess Al Hamidi coming in January is probably the one where I look at that compared to us going for Ohio. And I think if we'd taken the gamble, because he's a very young player, he was coming from League Two, you don't know if he's going to succeed. I think he cost them something like £1 million. And you think if we'd taken that gamble, maybe hindsight obviously makes it very easy to say, but maybe it's a much better option than getting an Ohio and a Billy Sharp who haven't done a whole lot for us. But I think he's scored a handful of goals for them. Kiefer Moore, who they brought in on loan from Bournemouth, is also doing quite well for them. So, you know, a very dynamic front line for Ipswich, more dynamic than when we faced them last time. But they've got a lot of attacking options, as we've experienced before. Oh, look, I'll optimistically say my favourite scoreline at the moment, 2-1 to us. I think Ipswich seem like they're sort of stumbling to the finish line at the moment, getting a bit nervous. And it'll be interesting, actually, because even if we lose to Coventry, I'd almost back us, because I feel like if we were to lose, then the shackles come off a little bit. The players might feel a bit more free to play. So it's going to be interesting in that sense as well. But, yeah, I'll back us for the win.
I want to. And my, you know, I'm in the weird zone where I go like, in terms of like probability of sneaking into the six, we're very, very low chances. But there's still a chance. And so I'm going to remain as optimistic as I can and also tip, I'm going to tip a 1-0 win over Ipswich.
Very nice. Okay. Well, look, we'll see how we go. Yeah, as we said, Ike, it's basically, you know, 6 points needed from these two games to hopefully keep us in the playoff picture come the last day of the season. And so hopefully we can achieve that. But look, thank you for joining me for this one, Dan.
No worries. I'll probably see you next week to do the next one.
May well. And thanks everyone for listening. And yeah, hopefully it is 6 points from these games. And we're back next week previewing our chances of sneaking into that final playoff spot. But until then, come on, City.
You've been listening to the official Hull City Australia podcast, The Tigers Down Under. For more discussion, join us on Facebook at the Hull City AFC Australia Facebook group, or follow us on Twitter at Hull City AFC Oz. The music was created by Amber and Black. All the city's on fire, with a burning desire. Tigers are roaring, a destiny's calling, 'cause now is the time. Yeah, the city's on fire, we're going higher and higher. There's no turning back 'cause you're out.